This is RSVB Update, episode 494, recorded Friday, December 5th, 2014. Our Little Secrets. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVB Update. Just us normalized, whatever you might want to call us, kind of people back this week. Hello.
We're normal?
Yes. As normal as you can be, believe it or not.
But we're nerds. We're never normal.
Well, I mean, compared to the people we hang around with, we are normal, so.
You're saying Mike is not normal?
I wasn't specifically thinking of him, no. But anyways, other people.
Hi, RSBNB.
Yeah, we're a good bellwether for what RSBNB is, I think. Anyways, so this week we do have a selection of updates to get to, and I have pressed the record button. I just thought I'd check that. And
I was going to ask. I was thinking that in my head.
Yeah, but anyways, so this week, Jagex decided to start with Christmas a little bit earlier than we're used to. Normally, we see the Christmas update in the second or third week of December. Well, it's here this week, or at least part of it is. The festive cheer is what they're going by this year. So this year actually started out with two kinds of events that you can take part in. The first is the giant cracker pull, of course, and the second is the tinsel snake hunt. Now,
snake?
Yeah, we'll get to the snake hunt in just a minute, but first, present delivery and the giant cracker. So, do you remember back in the RuneScape road trip in May, we had to go around and do various tasks and get a little thing stamped off? That's kind of what this present delivery thing is, except we get to choose where we go, and it's just a simple matter of talking to the specific NPC. And once you talk to this NPC, you take your Santa sack, and you will give him a Christmas gift. And then, of course, in exchange for this gift, you get a piece of festive paper, and then you bring it back to the Lumbridge Crater, where we have assembled, the giant festive cracker that's going to get pulled. So the idea is you contribute to it, and then when you see the message, head on over to Lumbridge to help pull the cracker. So you just checked this out before we began, and you said it was at 0 to 20%, correct?
Right.
Yesterday, when I delivered my paper, it was at 80 to 90%. So I'm guessing that means I assume that I missed, and we all missed, you and I, the first pulling of the cracker, which is kind of disheartening, I think, because it means you have to be on at a specific time when this cracker is going to get pulled, which I was hoping would be a little bit different, but you didn't see any evidence that you could actually give the cracker a pull now, did you, when you were there?
Nope, it was as empty as my stomach.
Okay. So you basically have the ability to contribute paper to it again. And then we get back to, well, the very beginning and rebuilding it, it looks like, which, I don't know. I think that if we gave people the chance to pull the cracker rather than just having it around at, you know, more than one time, I think that might have turned out a little bit better in this case. But, you know, this is not the whole Christmas event, so it's no reason to despair, seeing as all you get is the Christmas cracker pull emote, and I quote, "You'll be able to loot a chest containing an XP lamp and an appropriately hilarious joke."
It's a joke, man. Nah, the whole thing's a joke.
Well, it could very well be, I guess, but, you know, JX always loves their own puns and whatnot, but I don't know. They're okay, some of them. Some of them do really, really make me fall over laughing, as we had a couple weeks ago with the penguins, or rather the turkeys.
Turkey.
Yes. So, turkey. Anyways. So that's part one. I've been delivering these gifts. It's unfortunate that that is not the case, that, you know, we can head on over there and see what's going on. But I don't know. It just seems rather confusing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that's all there is on that part. I mean, I guess you just got to hit it at the right time, so to speak, or pull it at the right time. But the next part is, of course, a tinsel snake hunt, which happens every 3 hours in Varrock Square. You'll get a little notification in the broadcast system saying you can go hunt the snakes, and then basically all you need to do is you head on over there, and once you're there, it's kind of like one of those old games you'd play where you just start picking up things and you get a tail that's longer and longer and keeps following you. But ultimately the thing is that you don't necessarily need to worry about losing them, because you just turn them in once you get 10. And then each 10 of those will give you your daily festive cheer points. And then after that, you can just spend these cheer points on whatever you might want in the reward store. Two rewards of which include the ice sickle, get it? And the Snowman outfit, which is a cosmetic override. So that's a nice little piece of winter gear, I think.
So we're building a snowman.
Yeah, pretty much.
Elsa.
Building your own snowman. But
okay. All right, let's see. Other news really quick. Festive Aura can now once again be used throughout December, giving 50% XP or half an hour per day, or up to 50,000 additional XP. Woo!
Yeah, that's good. I mean, you definitely do want to try and take advantage of this. Maybe train your lower skills a bit. I used one of mine on Hunter, and I accidentally used one on Farming because I brought the wrong aura on a Farming patch, which was kind of disappointing. But, oh well, that's the way it goes. But I do have to say that this entire little Christmas event thing pertaining to the cracker and whatnot, and, you know, this, it just seems a little bit confusing as to what the whole point of both of those are, if I can just go back to a minute. So it's nice to see things like the Festive Aura and whatnot coming into play that are actually simple, and we know what they are because we had them last year.
Okay.
And, you know, that's pretty much all we have for this week's main part of the Christmas update. We'll, of course, get more as we head on into the later on into the month, such as the snowboarding little thing in the Lumbridge Crater, which will probably be, I think, 2 weeks from now that we'll be talking about that, given the current behind the scenes video schedule. So we'll just take that as to what it's worth currently. So in terms of other things that came out this week pertaining to the Christmas update, the yearly Christmas rares have appeared.
Yes. Christmas rares. So let me open this one up really quick again. A couple of new items are coming out this year. They will be tradable, and if this ever opens up, and here we go. So some rare gift includes the Christmas loot beam, the buddy pet, and wieldable rubber turkeys, off main hand and off hand with the Christmas scythe. Of course, you'll also get XP lamps for doing this kind of thing. So, anyway, what happens is that as you're skilling, fighting, doing whatever, you gather snow. So, if you actually get 1,000 of these, you can actually compress these together to get an enchanted snowball. When you do, you turn this to the head elf, and you'll be able to collect a number of Christmas presents, mostly the ones that I just named off. And each week after reset, you'll be able to collect big Christmas presents, one for your first, and approximately one per 5 snowballs handed in during the week, up to a maximum of 10 presents. So you get the Christmas scythe. Christmas scythe looks interesting. It looks like a giant sugar. Looks like a sugar cane that you kind of licked the circle away.
Yeah. I kind of hate to bring this up right now, but the Christmas side is currently going for 59.4 million on the Grand Exchange. Jumped by about 2.8 million yesterday. So this is definitely going to probably end up being an expensive one if they are as rare as they can be.
Well, at least it's better than a fish mask.
Yeah, Yeah.
How
anything,
much is that now? How much is that now? $650K.
Like,
really? And we didn't we buy for like $3 million so long ago?
Yes.
And this is why I don't kids. This is why I'm not in the stock market.
Well, I mean, you can be in the stock market. You just got to get your get the things given to you and work for them or have them randomly bestowed upon you. You know?
I am not good with money. That's the reason why I'm not a businessman.
Well, I got a Black Santa hat last year.
Yeah, because I hate because we all hate you.
Maybe I'll get the side this year. Who knows? But basically, this whole mechanic is rather interesting, I think. The first day this came out, I actually got 900 of the snow from Treasure Hunter, which seemed rather odd. And I haven't got any snow from Treasure Hunter since. But in the meantime, in the skilling that I have been doing and, you know, general playing, I have gained around an extra 350 snow. So I was able to make my first snowball and hand that in for one of the raffles. So it's not something you necessarily need to play on Treasure Hunter to get. But you do, you know, need to do a bit of skilling and... Treasure Hunter can help, but it's not necessarily a requirement, which I think is ultimately good, being a part of the Christmas update. I've only turned in one snowball, so we'll have to do some more work this weekend and see how many more can get turned in. And of course, next week we should be seeing the big Christmas presents. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, with that, you can also, members also have a chance of getting glowing crackers. These are kind of like crackers that you can pull with other people, but these are not tradable. So don't think about saving them and trading in for in the future date. One of the things you can actually get from the glowing crackers is actually the Holy Wraith. And, you know, put it over your head. It's kind of like a, you know.
Holy Wraith.
Yeah, sorry. Holy Wraith or Holly Wraith. It's not really holy. Basically, you put this on your head, and you make a little planty vegan halo.
Oh, my. Oh, wow. This thing's going for $250 million on the exchange by default.
Of course it is. They're pretending to be Jesus.
Yay. I mean...
And,
Yeah, okay, this is good. I remember a long time ago... We would talk and, you know, about Christmas updates and whatnot and whether or not we were ever going to see tradable rares brought back into the game. And we have. I do think the players are mature enough to be able to handle them. So, that's good. Let the rare race begin again. I should try and get one of these this year. Which one do you think is going to be best? The scythe or the wreath?
I like the scythe because it looks like, you know, you're a big giant lollipop, you know, lollipop soldier.
But
the wreath is nice, but then, you know, you can't really see it unless you're kind of close. So it's kind of like the party hat. It's not
it's
that
like the pea hat.
Clear. Sure.
Remember the pea hat?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, the pea hat thing you can get from Diongo, it was a April Fool's gift. Basically they said they were releasing pea hats into the game and then you go talk to him and what you get is you get a little thing, little piece of string that goes around your head and sitting tiny teensy on top of it is a pea. Like a pea that you get out of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the term the pea hat. But anyways, I digress. Okay, so you think people are going to be opening their wallets up for this? To get extra snow, maybe?
Why not? Christmas time.
I know, but it would be nice if they
did a Christmas special bonus thing.
Yeah, that would be nice. And, I mean, at the same time, it's not something you need to do, so I think it's absolutely fair that you get them from game, and they are going to be boosting them. So the first week, the 3rd to the 9th, it's boosted by killing NPCs, so combat. And the second week, it's from non-combat skilling activities. So that should be good fun for everybody out there. I know I have some stuff planned regarding that, so definitely happy to hear that my skilling will boost it at some point. So fingers crossed if any of you update listeners out there, remember to or end up getting one, please do remember to share what you got with us and tell us how many tries it took for you to end up getting one.
Getting which one again?
Well, either the Wreath or the Scythe, right?
I didn't get any of them yet.
Well, I mean the update listeners, if they get one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fortunately, my luck is not as good as yours when it comes to big, humongous things.
Yeah. Lots and lots of little Robin Hood hats came out of my clue scrolls. Alrighty. Moving on to the tweaks and fixes in that case. Additional feedback now displays on the tracker puzzle during Heart of Stone.
Okay.
And by this, I assume they mean the one with the detecting the signals, because I don't think you would include the electrical one as a tracker puzzle, would you? Is that what they mean by tracker puzzle?
I don't know.
Because I didn't really consider the signal tracker a puzzle, personally. But.
I'm thinking maybe it's one kind of like, when you're doing the puzzle and you're almost there, you're so close, something's a little bit off, maybe something like that.
Yeah, it could be. Because there was some feedback about that in the Quest podcast this week that they did. Some people absolutely adore puzzles and whatnot. And there's rules as to, whether or not puzzles can be made unguidable or not. But they said the general thing they try and do is make the puzzles accessible to everybody and not make them unguidable, because the primary objective is the quest and to play through it. So even though there are players out there like me and a whole bunch of others that like puzzles, that is not the primary objective. And given that Jagex does say that they are all innate puzzle solvers, yes?
Yes. Yeah, they're all computer science. They're supposed to be solving problems and solving issues.
Yeah. So is everything okay? What was that big gasp for?
Oh, I was looking at the ninja fix. So they have one that's made me interested, and then I thought about it. I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense either. But
all right,
maybe.
What was it?
Oh, players are not able to attain multiple ectophils and multiple agile armor parts. I'm like, cool. And they're like, why? Just saying. I was like, cool. And then why?
Yeah.
Unless you're doing the whole, keep two items, keep their place in the bank or something.
Yes, that's it. That is why I guess you would want the two ectos. But
ooh, I like this one. There's
aside
now,
from that, unless you were planning on dying with it, that might be a reason.
So let's see. And there is now an overlay that shows approval ratings when on miscellanea, and you don't have a target message will not only appear once per minute, unfiltered.
Yay! I don't get why we need an overlay on miscellanea. It's not like it's overly hard to max out favor. All you do is you go to the teak trees, because those give the most, and you just sit there and you chop them for a little bit and you're done.
Right.
Especially if you have both quests done.
Yeah, and I just usually I fish, because I can just do it with my bare hands.
Okay.
Falcon punch.
Yeah, don't you have a hatchet in your tool belt?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's only rune, though. I didn't put a dragon in yet.
Yeah, neither did I. I mean, I don't even own a dragon hatchet, because I got 99 wood cutting already. I didn't see the point.
I do. Mine's gilded.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. I remember how long it took you to get that.
No, was it gilded? No, that was my dragon. That's a dragon pickaxe. That's why it's gilded.
Okay, that's the one that took you forever to get.
Bastards.
All right, speaking of pickaxes and hatchets, they've had their accuracy improved to match their level tier. Strength remains unchanged, so I guess that is okay for people who might want to use those as a weapon in some way, I guess, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. The only time I've seen pickaxes and hatchets used as weapons is as a last resort in action movies, so we'll have to see about that. Anti-fire potions no longer stop having an effect before they run out. That's good. That's good. You don't want to, spontaneously combust yourself at the Queen Black Dragon or something like that. Here's something that has been bothering me for a long, long time. Interacting with familiars via the summoning icon will now respond as expected. So basically, if you set your summoning icon one-click option to be interact, and you press that button or you dragged it to the action bar, you would not interact with your familiar. You still have to go out there, find your familiar,
right,
and right-click on the little bugger, which made it very, very tedious to craft nature runes, for one thing, because, you know, you use the spirit grack for that. So you always had to right-click and maybe find them in the stack at Castle Wars, and it prevented you from turning off the summoning familiar option. So this has been fixed. It's a long-standing bug ever since the action bars come out, if I remember correctly.
Same thing with the yak, too. When I had it on my action bar to put stuff in it, it would give me error messages as well, and I found that annoying. Killed that dog.
So we got we already talked about the ectos and miscellaneous, so that's good. Doesn't look like we got anything else in the patch notes, so we'll just jump straight on ahead to this week's poll, which is another reaction survey pertaining to the player examine info. 56% enjoyed it, 17% okay, 4% do not like it, 14% want to use it but haven't, and 6% do not want to use it at all.
Yeah, those who don't want to use it at all are either lying or don't know how useful they can be.
Yeah, or, I mean, just some Luddite who, you know, doesn't want any progress made on the game, but we'll leave that to your guys' discretion who might fit into that category. I personally love that feature. It's something wanted for
Snoop
so long.
Around.
Hmm?
Snoop around.
Yeah, exactly. Seeing what people's stats are, seeing what those cosmetic overrides are, maybe, and ultimately seeing what kind of cunning info they want to reveal about themselves. And as I mentioned, when this came out, it works as a perfect little advertising platform. You know, say, I like farming, I host RSPB Update, ask me for more info. So if people look at that and get interested, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's another one right for you. So very useful indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. I voted it was okay. I didn't use it as much. I tinker around with it, but for right now, I have no big use for it except just to look around and see how it goes, how everyone is.
Alrighty, so the Well of Goodwill closed on the November 30th, and we have official totals to go over now from the charitable efforts of the players of RuneScape. So,
and the drum roll is
512 billion gold donated throughout November. And together with the money raised through bond donations and tunic sales, totaling a grand total of $160,000.158. Which will be sent accordingly to Able Gamers, Donate Games, and Young Minds. It was split based on the player's choice. $49,301 to Able Gamers, $50,630 to Donate Games, and $60,227 to Young Minds. Interesting choices there, and I think it was very great that JX let the players choose where this goes. very nice. And over 70,000 players participated in this effort.
Yay! And, God, let's see. That's how many people donated.
It was 70,000, but...
Oh, who donated the most?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we could look up the stats on that, but, I mean... At this point, I think it's more about the end result rather than who donated the most, because that's what it's about, right? So that's the way I'm going to look at this, regardless of, you know, whether or not there were top donors or whatnot. And, you know, if these players did it for fame, they just want to do that. That is entirely up to them. So...
Or maybe they just wanted a title.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you're donating that much, you got to want it for more than a title, in my view. Anyways, you're also able to continue donating to Jagex's charitable efforts by donating to Oxfam. You can donate to them through the use of bonds at various lodestones around the world, and you do get something for donating to them. But first off, Oxfam is a charity that deals with starvation in Africa, so it is indeed a worthwhile cause if anybody is interested in donating to that. Donation one, with your first bond, you get a present containing a very special bauble, and you can use this to reset your festive aura once every weekend day throughout RuneScape, so that's on the weekend twice. Donation 2 will give you 5 treasure hunter keys if you donate a second bond. Donation 3 gives you the festive title. Donation 4, 5 more treasure hunter keys. And donation 5, you'll receive an awesome reindeer antler cosmetic head override. So there you go. You can also donate to Oxfam with bonds. It's not over. And as you know, this is the month for charitable giving all around. So I'm very glad that Jagex is doing this.
Oops. Okay, let me take a look. And up next, we have a little bit of the winter weekends that are coming up. So every weekend in December, a new event is going to happen. This weekend, it's Skilling weekend, I believe. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A whole bunch of interesting things about this.
Okay, so this will last until December 8th, 12 noon GMT. All weekend you'll enjoy smithing, double XP, and respecting the artisan workshop, divination, and ritual whistle spawn every 10 minutes rather than every 20. I should do this over the weekend. Divination, spring lasts for twice as long as once a whisk is activated. Fishing, spots moved around half as frequently as before. Runecrafting, increased node spawn rates and reward points in the rune span. Mining and woodcutting, rocks and rare trees replenish twice as fast when depleted. Note, this does not include crystal trees, bloodwood trees, or trees planted with the farming skill. Thieving, barrel scepters and black ibis outfit drop twice as likely as it did in the pyramid plunder. Okay, now I'm conflicted between divination or pyramid plunder. What did you think?
Divination. Thieving XP is already fast enough, and quite frankly,
thieving. I want the outfit. I'm conflicted either leveling up or outfit.
Go for the divination. Pyramid plunder has always been kind of a little bit of an annoyance to me, and I prefer thieving through normal pickpocketing. So that's what I would do if I was planning on doing that this weekend. And you know, maybe that is something to do. Maybe I should get 99 divination before the year is up.
How close are you?
I'm in 96.
Impossible.
We'll see. We'll see. It's an interesting idea nonetheless.
Use your Festive Aura while you're at it.
Yeah, though the thing is, I think, you know, maybe I should be using the Festive Aura on other things that are a little bit harder to train. Like, for example, Hunter. You know, just go to Herbalar Habitat. Now that I can buy the Juju Hunting Potions, might as well just go hunt rather the Draconic Jadinkos for half an hour a day and get insane XP from them, right?
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the kind of the way I look at it, but anyways, that's just me. What have you been using the Festive Aura on?
I haven't used it on anything yet. I'll probably use it on Divination and then use it on the Dungeoneering weekend happens.
Okay. Alright. And we end the RuneScape section with the behind-the-scenes video pertaining to the Dominion Tower Rumble mode. So basically this is a group mode for Dominion Tower where you can take up to 5 people with you and go hunt bosses up to 10 bosses at a time.
We should so do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Mike and Ian, and whoever, we should so do that.
Yep. Seeing as we've got most of the quest done, that would definitely be fun. We also got Dominion Tower getting an update in terms of rewards, adding NPCs that weren't around for the first go. One of the ones that, of course, jumps out is Yelps.
Yelp?
Yep. Remember, someone died to yelps in the Mighty Fall quest, I think.
Right.
So, we were just theorizing about that, how funny it would be if a hardcore Iron Man account died to yelps in that quest.
But, what was it? Yeah, I remember we wanted to kill him, so that's what happened.
No, I let him live.
No, yeah, Will, oh no, it was an option. Like, I was telling you, when they were doing the spin, you and I kind of you wanted to let him retire, some of them wanted to kill him, some of them wanted to fight him, and a whole bunch of other stuff, or a little goblin.
Yeah, and at the end they gave the players a decision, which I guess makes sense. He was a minor character after all. Anyways, so we look forward to the Dominion Tower update, and maybe we'll have some interesting stories to tell next week pertaining to that. In that case, we're going to move on to our listener question right now. Would you care to read this?
Okay. All right. This question is from Varunki. Hi there, host. I was wondering if there are any Christmas traditions or if you celebrate another holiday that you enjoy doing. Me and my wife put a Christmas tree out, and we have presents already under the tree. I also grew up doing this thing when on Christmas Day the kids would search the tree for a pickle ornament, and the one who found it gets a special extra gift, a German tradition, my parents say. Anyway, what are some of the things that you celebrate the holidays either personally or with your family? So, get yourself out of a pickle.
Oh, that's an interesting thing, what you said, pickle. Get yourself out of the pickle. But you want to go first or should I?
You go first.
Well, for me, it's a very nice time of the year. Not just the month of December and, of course, the days leading up to the big holiday, but, of course, the entire winter season for me. I will take the entire winter season and whatever snow can get thrown towards me or that we can get here over any kind of heat that exists. So that just having a break from the warmth of the summer is very nice. I actually prefer the colder seasons over the hotter seasons, but that's getting a bit away from the point. Most of what actually ends up going on is, it's a fairly traditional kind of Christmas around here, too. Normally, it involves a good number of visits to a few places. We see people and whatnot. The big ones happen, of course, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Christmas Eve, rather, we go to the grandparents most of the time. There's been a couple years that we stepped out to do our own thing. I'm not sure what's happening this year, but it's something that is definitely open to the options that we can do. So we see those people there and have that kind of visit that most people do around this holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
And that normally goes pretty well. Transitioning into that, it's a matter of Christmas Day, and then that's normally just a day spent with the main family and no one else. It's always been that way, and I think that's the way it should be for a lot of people. So that's what we do, and you know, it's just as basically as traditional as you can imagine with that. And then, of course, after you head into New Year's, there's New Year's celebrations with that as well. And, you know, seeing people all throughout the break, whether it be before or after, they're all centrally themed like that. So I think I want to say it's fairly traditional around here.
Hmm. So, yeah, for me... Well, it depends who I'm with. Usually when I was younger, I would kind of go out and do something with the family. But as I've gotten older, I'm starting to value the idea of being as lazy as humanly possible. One of my favorite days back in the day was it was just me and my mother in the house. And we're like, it's Christmas Day. We're like, We don't want to go anywhere. Something's open. We don't want to do anywhere. Not really. You want to just watch Chinese movies all day long and just eat on whatever snacks in the cupboard? All right. So that's literally what we did. The whole day, we just like, movie's done. Want to watch the next one? Here, you pick. All right. Hey, any more chips? Any more crackers in there? Yeah, here. Sweet. And so like, I spent the entire day just both just eating and watching movies and being as lazy as humanly possible.
Okay. Anything else?
No. There's no snow here, so we can't build a snowman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's something else that can happen. Though the conditions have to be just right. You can't do it when it's too cold, otherwise it doesn't stick. So it's more something to do if it's warm enough out there, and it will stick together. So that is something that can be done, and it's a fun thing to do. And in general, aside from, you know, just focusing in around Christmas and the holidays, there's lots of winter stuff that can be done, and I used to do in the past, you know, back in the day. Ice skating, that's always something to do, because that's a natural thing around here, because it's always cold. Snow sledding is something as well. And through most of our school years, at least the younger school years, there was a heavy emphasis on, you know, winter education, skiing, snowboarding, snowshoeing, that sort of thing. So those kind of things always happen around December and January. So it's not just related to this time of year, but it's an entire winter season all associated with doing things that, if you think about it, I think that most of the world would not do, because, you know, they don't have winter for 6 or 7 months of the year when you think about it, because here you can get snow at the tail end of October, and it's entirely possible for it to remain on the ground throughout March. So.
Okay.
Alrighty. I think that covers that one. Fairly traditional. Alrighty. Thank you, Varunki. If you guys want to send in questions, send them on to the forums, rsbnb.com/forums, or email the audio questions to questions@rsbnb.com. We look forward to hearing them. And as you guys know, they can greatly influence the amount of discussion that we do. And I would point to the episode 2 weeks ago, where if your question is thought-provoking enough, it can influence a show title. So keep that in mind when phrasing your questions.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Alrighty. Tech news?
Tech news. Alright. So, first things first, Steam broadcasting.
Yeah, this was a little bit surprising, wasn't it, when this appeared?
Anyway.
Basically, what this is it's a way of competing with Twitch. At least that's what it looks like on the surface. Basically, all you do is you have the ability to broadcast your games out. People can go to their friends list and choose watch someone's game, or go to the Steam community page and see what the most interesting things going on. So it's a different way of doing it, because the player doesn't necessarily need to say, "Oh, I want to broadcast." Instead, all a person needs to do is right-click and choose View Game, and away you go, you're watching. You can, of course, control it through privacy settings and whatnot. Only friends that you invite, friends can request, friends can watch my game, or anyone can watch my games. Kind of weird that Steam didn't pull this out sooner than they did, because when you think about it, you know, this is something that Steam probably wants to be involved in, given how successful Twitch is. But maybe there's some technological or marketing barriers behind it. I'm not sure.
I think they can do it. Just give us some time. I think one thing they can really do is maybe stream over, you know, while you're playing Steam games, to stream better. Everything's all interconnected anyway.
Yeah.
And you can also do a whole cheating thing too.
Yeah, that's the case. I mean, if you're doing competitive Team Fortress or something like that, and a person on the other team looks up and says, "Oh, let's see what he's doing. Let's see what these teams are doing on there." So that is something you would want to be aware of. Ghosting, as it was called back in the olden days.
Although you can still do it with Twitch anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true. For anybody who's wondering, ghosting is a term where it originated way back when before streaming, but the idea was is you'd have two people in the same room or the same house playing a computer game, Counter-Strike, for example, and these two people would be talking to each other and they would give intel on either team as to what was going on. So if you're playing a hostage rescue mode where you're hiding with the hostages or going to a certain bomb site, somebody else who was in the same room with you could poison that information to the other team. So that is what ghosting is. Just a little bit of a rundown there for anybody who was not familiar with the terminology. Now, the question I want to ask is, do you think this is a little bit redundant nowadays with Steam? I mean, Twitch.
Keep in mind, most people who are on Twitch streaming, you know, they get a little bit of money for doing it, and those who watch, usually you pay a little bit to get rid of ads or whatnot.
Right.
Or higher definition. Well, competition is good. Maybe they'll drive prices down and, you know, they'll fight each other for you know, to broadcast more.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'll pay you a bit more, and for you guys, you can pay less for streaming or whatever.
I think the only real wrinkle in this plan with Steam offering this is that lots of people are already invested in Twitch. There's lots of sponsorships that already go on with Twitch. And ultimately, I think it would be hard-pressed to get the whole esports movement to move away from Twitch to Steam if it was a game that is insanely popular on Steam, such as Dota or Counter-Strike or even TF2, because TF2 is actually supposed to be getting its own competitive mode at some point in the future. So this could be why they're doing that. Maybe. Alrighty. So anything else on that?
Well, Steam's a big company. I'm sure they can do something with it. So we'll see how that goes.
Yep, and I mean, Steam, I mean, if you look at it, they are certainly popular, so much to the degree that people are wondering where Half-Life 3 is. But at the same time, while Half-Life 3 is not arriving, we can get various interesting little things like this to happen. So, good nonetheless, I think. Okay. Right. Next up, Apple is repeating something it did last year, in which it's offering a free hour of coding lessons in its Hour of Code. So they say anyone between the ages of 4 and 104 to learn the basics of computer programming. Now,
so
this is excellent, in my view, for two reasons why.
You're a nerd. First reason, and you love this stuff.
Well, aside from that, the first reason is, of course, that Apple has always been intertwined in education, whether it be, you know, the classic applications that people learn to do math or spelling, or maybe even some old-fashioned logo programming, because that is something that existed on Apple computers way back when, and it's really the first time that I started manipulating scripts on a computer to do that kind of thing, and it was always interesting to me even back then. So it's a wonder why Apple is doing this, because at the end of the day, programming is so essential to Apple in terms of their operating systems and their ecosystems that they want to get people interested in this to further their own platform and greatly increase the ways people interact with their computers. Because the way of looking at this is, if you know how to program, and you can do it easily with an ecosystem that is friendly to you, you can create amazing things, even if you're just learning on how to do something. And that is what the very important aspect of programming is that it's not just limited to professionals anymore. It's limited to anybody who has an idea and can get around it and implement it in a way and then get it out there. And Apple enables people to do that. So getting people involved young in this is so important because this is the future of how we interact with the world around us. Mm-hmm. Everything's getting smaller. Like, you can have your phone control the lights in your house. You can have your phone control your garage door opener. You can have your phone do all sorts of little things, read email, news, Twitter, everything. And all these applications were made with code. And a lot of these applications on here were started by small independent developers that grew to the large corporations that they are now. One of them is, of course, Angry Birds with Rovio. There's an example right there. So that is why programming is so important. But aside from that, on December 11th, in the U.S., anybody can go to an Apple store and register for an hour-long workshop. You can get these people involved in programming, younger people, anybody who wants to go there, chat with them, and learn something about how the computers work. So if you're at all interested in programming, or if you just got a free day on the 11th of December, which actually does turn out to be a Thursday, all you need to do is register, and I highly recommend anybody who has an interest in programming, register on this, and just go to your nearest Apple store and make it happen.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. And I do have to say that the offerings this year will make things very easy, and it's going to be very fun for everybody who's going to be involved in this, because Apple has their new programming language out this year called Swift, which is designed to get people programming quickly, creating great applications that don't necessarily need the huge understanding of how the programming language is working underneath everything else. So it's a perfect year to be doing something like this. And finally, I guess I'll say that if you don't want to do this, or if you're limited on time but you're still interested, just head on over to Informer and search for learning how to program. I did a good three-piecer on that way back when, taking you through a whole bunch of things that you need to have in mind through choosing a language and learning it, and ultimately creating little things that you can do to enhance your experience and teach yourself that language. Alrighty.
Yes. Okay, and last but not least, a little sad news. Sony Pictures was hacked, and hacked big.
Yes.
And it was not pretty.
Yeah, tons and tons of damage with this one. I mean, no physical damage, but a whole lot of intellectual property rights damage, I do want to say, about this. It is really unfortunate that something like this can happen, but take us a bit through what happened.
Basically, hacker found a little hole in the security and went in. Next thing they know was 2 million pieces of data, social security numbers, addresses, names, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all bought out. Employee salaries was really the big one. Health data. So, yeah, a lot of stuff got leaked out.
Yeah, the ones you gotta worry most about are the people's social insurance numbers and the addresses and whatnot. Because if you have those, it's really easy to steal someone's identity. And you know, the finger has been pointed that this hack is in retaliation to the movie depicts an interview with Kim Jong-un of North Korea entitled The Interview, in which they do want to, well, take him out. And I guess that's kind of where the word decapitate came from, right?
Yeah.
So the suspicion is that it is related to this. It's unknown currently if it's the work of North Korea that did this, but at the end of the day, still, this is something that lots of people need to be worried about in this day and age as to whether or not hacking is going to be bad for, you know, a corporation. And how do you defend yourself against something like this when you don't know it's coming, what vector it's going to hit, or, you know, ultimately, if there's anything that can be done to prevent about it on your end. So it's something that a lot of people really need to be wary of, and with state-level hacking jobs like this and many other things, it's a whole new ball game out there, and people really need to be careful about this. And, you know, this is ultimately one reason why it's good to play it safe online, I think, as to only give out information to websites you trust. But I don't know. Do you think it's North Korea?
You know, it could also just be one guy who wants to make $1 zillion.
Yeah, but I mean, Sony, that's a pretty large target.
Yeah, but you know, they hit Target before last year. They hit Sony not too long ago with the PS3 network.
Right.
What was the other? I think they hit Home Depot not too long ago as well.
Yep. That was an exploit or something.
Right. So, you know, just remember that anything you put on the internet, which is a lot of stuff, anything on there can easily be sent out. So do your best. And if things does go out, just make sure you're able to protect yourself. And when you do feel something is totally weird, well, then keep in mind that, hey, you need to call the police or somebody to deal with this, because the thing is, most people don't realize is usually if you're young and someone does steal your identity, you won't notice till, you know, many decades later when suddenly, like, you go apply for a credit card. It's like, your credit is shot. It's like, what are you talking about? My credit? You don't have any to begin with. It's like, well, someone's been using your name for the past 10 years and you didn't know it.
Yep. I'd also like to say that a whole bunch of upcoming Sony movies were leaked online before they were supposed to be, of course, distributed to movie theaters and whatnot, so that has to be downright painful as well, having raw source movies released like that, and let alone having them traded on the torrents and having this data traded on there as well. It really speaks to the fact that lawmakers and those who enforce the law do need some recourse to be able to have the ability to just have certain files expunged from the internet in this case. Because there's no reason why this kind of illegal material should be allowed to sit on the internet and be distributed, so-called, freely. When it's not free, it's stolen, and it's a huge moral screw-up for whoever is taking part in distributing these sorts of things, and even more so for the one that ultimately stole it. And that's all I got to say on this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's move on to something a little cheerful, and we have December's Skill of the Month.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and this week, hold up, it's loading.
Sounds like you need a better internet connection.
There we go, got it. I've just been running a little slow all day. Anyway, this month is Constitution, and Flash is number one right now with almost 300,000 experience gained. X-Blade is second with 250. Mage Guy 08 is at 200,000 XP.
And let me just apologize to everyone out there for the fact that the random generator decided on Constitution this month. Because, as you know, Constitution, you get far less of it than any other combat skill out there, and you can't choose to train it specifically unless you're, of course, doing Castle Wars or something like that. But at the end of the day, I do commend everybody for competing in this one, even though it's probably one of the more boring ones. And with the introduction of 2015, we will look at removing Constitution from this list of skills, since it doesn't really, if you're going to do Constitution, you might as well do a combat skill that's more interesting, I think. That's just a bit of a discussion we had about this. I don't know if that's the way we're going to go, but if you guys out there listening think we should remove Constitution, send me a PM. Or if you don't want Constitution removed, send me a PM also in that way. Just let us know what you think about that. Because we can remove Constitution if enough people want it removed. And it's one of the most boring skills to train, quite frankly.
Yes, we heard that already.
Alrighty. But in a bit more happier news, I will say that the November Skill of the Month was won by Parnassius, who narrowly edged out Flash. Those two were having quite a race for top position. Parnassius finished with 5.6 million experience. 5,600,082.04 is the final number. And Flash came in second with 5,474,988 XP. So well fought there, and great job to Flash for making a come-from-behind effort to almost narrowly defeat Parnassius in the Fishing Skill of the Month for November.
Yes. A couple more Rocktails, you would have got them.
Yep, indeed.
All right, you're up.
Alrighty. Thank you. Next up, we do have that special time of the year announcement. You know what time of the year it is?
December?
Yes, and that, of course, means it's clip show time. So if you want to hear us making idiots of ourselves, or you think we had some really idiotic moments or some funny moments, either way, you can send those to us. Just head on over to update.rsbnb.com/clips, all one word, and you can send us your clip show recommendations. Please do include the episode number, a general time, the more exact the better, and what was special about this clip. And we will endeavor to get it included in the year-end clip show. As you can tell, that's my favorite show of the year to record.
Yes, because for you, it's slap on a title and off you go.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a matter of going through my folder and extracting what everyone else does. And then we just come here, sit here. Listen to the clips, press play, and off we go. Okie dokie. We also have the Informer Roundup. No nonsense November. A whole bunch of Informer articles from this past month. So if you missed any of them, please do feel free to head on straight to Informer and have a read. Lots of great ones this past month. One of the favorite ones of mine for this month was Tanis's top 5 game updates of 2014. Granted, the year's not over, but December is just going to really bring us the Elf Task set, and that's about it. So at the end of the day, he runs down his favorite updates, and they are really just the tip of the iceberg of everything that was popular and fun this year. So give that a read. Lots of other great ones too this month. Out with the old and in with the new, where Duke talked about, getting rid of the old games and revisiting classics. And then, of course, we had Alex talking about the Elf City, which he's been waiting for oh so long. Mr. Bistro, who we've had on the show this past month, talked about his interest in a new God Wars dungeon and what that might look like. And Lord Rickles, of course, discusses RuneScape's Divine Energy Crisis. Interesting title right there. We already got to start thinking about conservation. And Jason rounded out the month with some discussion pertaining to dual-wielding in-games. And in my view, what has produced the best comment ever on an Informer article, in which one of our forum readers, Adaron Cronon, actually suggested that we go out there and test this theory. So maybe that'll be something we see next year. Who knows?
Alrighty. Yeah, that so have fun. A read on those.
Yes.
Now, Shane, now for pick of the week. Shane, I believe you have no pick for us.
Yeah, I do. This is something that, lots of people... can probably get some enjoyment out of You know, it's not something that people think about. But the way it works is that there's always something above us flying a good 350 kilometers up in the sky, known as the International Space Station. Now, the International Space Station has been orbiting in some form since 1998. It's the largest thing ever built in space. Of course, modules built on the ground and then ferried up. There's numerous websites you can go out there to have a look and to see where the International Space Station currently is. There is a way of, you know, going to these websites and having a look. So that's what I got for you guys this week. It's a website, it's a simple website called isstracker.com. This replaces the older Java-centric website, which might not run depending on your security settings. So you could give that one a try, but this one's better seeing as it's guaranteed to work since it uses the Google Maps API and in general is a whole lot more modern. So basically what this does is it shows a picture of the Earth currently and where you can find the space station. So you can see its current speed and altitude. And of course, you can change between metric and imperial measurements depending on your location. So that's part one. And part two is NASA's Spot the Station website, in which you enter your country, state, or region, and city, and it will give you a list of potential sightings for you to go outside and actually look up and see this bright thing in the sky moving across the sky. So that's the pick of the week pertaining to that. And the main reason, of course, is because of yesterday's launch of the Orion spacecraft by NASA, which made a successful test flight. So that's why we're talking about the International Space Station today.
Okay.
Yes. So definitely check those out.
Very pretty, Shane. Very pretty.
Yes.
Alrighty. Alright, thanks, Shane. And I guess we should announce our big announcement.
Yep, this is your announcement. I'll preface this by saying that this was in no way forced.
Why do you need to say that?
Well, I just want to say that, just so nobody gets the wrong idea.
Well, then people will get the idea.
Not necessarily.
I've been on the show, for almost 2 years now? 2-3 years, give or take?
Yep.
Unfortunately, now with the work and everything that's going on with my time, I haven't exactly been able to deliver my best performance on the show, and I feel everyone here, including Shane, deserves someone who can give more energy. So therefore, this month will be my last podcast as Shane's co-host. I've decided to retire. I'll probably pop my head in once in a while for special events, but fortunately, it's time for me to step down and pass the reins off to someone else. We won't announce who that is yet. We're still deciding, but thank you all for listening to me poke fun at Shane for the past 3 years, making me feel welcome. But anyway, y'all have a great time with your new guy, and take care of Shane.
Well, I'll just say in that regard that we do still have a couple weeks left of this year to spend doing this, and in terms of that, we will, let you guys know when that's going to happen. But we are aiming for the beginning of the new year. So that is that.
Alrighty.
So, what have you been up to?
Finally found time to make 1,500 combat bracelets.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Hold
on. I made over 18 mil. What? So I'm now contemplating. Yeah, I made over 18 mil selling those.
okay. As of right.
Yeah, okay. Whoever buys my combat bracelets, thank you very much. Anyway, I'm still waiting for Jackass to release a mass enchantment because my god, it got to take forever to enchant them all. I did a bit of ports, and I've made a little crucial decision for this coming week.
Oh?
Yes. I'm going to try and spend more time on RS because I really I've been telling myself I should do more PVM, do more PVM, but haven't really gotten myself to kick myself in the butt to do it. So I'm going to try to devote a little bit more of my time doing some PVMing for the next week and see how it goes. Finally have enough to get my Drygores and probably buy some later. And yeah, have some fun with them. See what happens with me. And hopefully I get some good bounties.
Okay.
Other than that, I'm looking forward to Divination Weekend. Not Divination Weekend. Dungeoneering Weekend, because good lord, you know, I like to do some marathoning Dungeoneering when I can. And
indeed.
Oh, and with the help of Shane, Reed, and Mike, they've helped me to assemble a new gaming rig, which I just spent my hard-earned money on, and now I'm broke. And so anyway, yeah, I'm waiting for some more parts to come by. Once they do, I'm going to put them all together, and I'll have a brand new gaming rig.
And very nice.
Donate my old,
very nice.
And I shall donate my old one to a good cause.
Interesting.
You know what the funny thing is?
What's that?
I'm buying the exact same case because it came on sale, and I love that case.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I'm very particular about my stuff as well, whether it be, you know, a chair or a mouse or a keyboard or a case if there's a good case. Yeah, I mean,
The thing is, I'm kind of wondering if people will assume that it's the exact same computer and no one knows the difference, because it does look like, from the outside, looks exactly the same. Just mm-hmm. less dust.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go crazy with the whole, I'm not going to go crazy with overclocking it and all that stuff. That's beyond my nerdy abilities.
So can you explain where 18 million profit comes from on a combat bracelet?
I made 1,500 of them, and
okay.
I sold them all on the exchange. And why people buy it, I don't know. All I know is people buy them. And for what I know, I'm thinking my only logical explanation is...
So you made 18 million profit?
Well, technically, if you...
Or did you get 18 million GP out of it?
Well, I got 18 million GP as revenue. If you want pure profit, it's roughly about 10 mil, give or take a couple mil.
Okay. I just wanted to be clear if we were really having that much profit off of a combat bracelet, because if that was the case, I'd ask you how. But let's see. So did you smith your own gold bars or
no?
Nope.
Besides the dragon bracelets, counting the runes and gold bars, I spent about 1K on the supplies, and then about 5K or so for each dragon bracelet.
Yeah, so dragon stones are currently 10.2K, gold bar 90 GP.
Cut dragon stones, not uncut.
Yeah.
Oh.
Cut.
Oh well.
10.2K
when they were. Yeah. Actually, I bought most of them during the double XP weekend. We could just cut them and sell them. So I got a nice giant of them, and I've just been sitting in my bank like, I need to sell this.
Did you charge them before you sold them?
Oh, yeah. Always charge them.
Good.
Always charge them.
According to that, then, it looks like, let's see, I'm just interested in this, as you can probably tell. You made $17.65 profit per bracelet,
mm-hmm.
right? And if you made 10, wow. Wow. Wow.
The only hard part that took forever was enchanting, because you can go one by one, which, and the fact that
yeah.
you, the only issue with those is that since you can't see if you enchant them or not. Usually when I bank them, I usually end up having a couple that are left over, and that just adds a bit more time because I missed it the first time.
Yeah, completely understandable, but good job.
All right, enough. All right, enough releasing my secrets. Your turn, Shane.
Okay, well, this week on RS, Port's still trying to get that last piece of the elusive Seasinger robe. Hopefully that'll come quickly. Fingers crossed on that. But aside from that, I'm well into the last region, but still in the last one, just because, you know, you have a higher percentage chance of getting the missions complete because, you know, they're easier. So that's why I'm there. Also on RS, farming some hunter, and of course doing the various Christmas events that are around. And I have also myself been involved in a bit of a money-making endeavor on RuneScape. I will say that it involves a Abyssal Titan and the new Beast of Burden preset, so that you can actually have a Beast of Burden preset, and you just need to press one button, which is very nice. and rune crafting. So, also involves binding necklaces, a specific teleport, and a balloon. And if you don't know what I'm referring to, well, I guess I'll just tell everyone that I have been crafting mud runes. Because a mud rune, believe it or not, currently sells for 625 GP. And in the span of one Abyssal Titan, after a few screw-ups of the inventory and whatnot, I made 1 million GP. And Abyssal Titan does not last for an hour. It's a half-hour-long familiar. So this is a good way of making money if you have the runecrafting level, and you can, of course, get an Abyssal Titan. That's all the best. Even if you have, you know, a massive pouch or a large pouch, that's good too. So it's a good thing to do, and it's, you know, it's not as intensive, let's say, as the Queen Black Dragon, which relies on having a good connection so you don't lag out, and it's a little bit just more relaxing, and kind of prefer non-combat ways of making money. But yeah, that's very nice.
So we both let our little secrets this week.
Yeah, I wonder what else will come out by the end of the year, eh?
Okay.
Alrighty, well, I believe that's it for RSBNB update. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed our little secrets that we have bestowed upon you guys. They really aren't that interesting or useful, maybe, but they will help your runescaping if you're not a combat person.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, mm-hmm. We'll see you next week for the Dominion Tower Rumble.
Alrighty.
See you next week, everyone. Goodbye.
Bye, y'all.